Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. My hometown of El Paso, Texas, was incorporated as a city in 1873. The area had been visited by Spanish explorers centuries before, and the first settlement appeared about 200 years before the city was incorporated. The history of El Paso had it originally within the state of New Mexico, within the Republic of Mexico. The territory around El Paso would later become part of the United States. It was an act of Congress that eventually made El Paso part of Texas. The same year that El Paso was incorporated, the U.S. Army started to use a new handgun, and this handgun became popular in the American Wild West. Made by Colt, it was known as the Single Action Army, or SAA, the Model P, and the M1873. For the year it was adopted for use. It was also commonly known as the Peacemaker and came to be used by ranchers, lawmen, and outlaws in addition to the army because the gun was seen as being a tool to quickly resolve disputes. General George S. Patton Jr. famously carried a Peacemaker with an ivory handle. Today, a very strong military is seen by some as a tool of peace, because most do not want to fight a strong enemy. Typically in war, one nation nearly destroys another nation, and then the nation that is nearly destroyed surrenders agreeing to terms offered by the more powerful nation. What we think of as peace treaties are often instruments of surrender or armistice agreements, and armistice agreements technically only suspend the fighting and are not peace treaties. When acceptable terms cannot be reached, the conflict continues. In biblical Israel, there was conflict brought to the land because the people forgot about God and worshiped other gods. Elijah, a prophet of God, killed the prophets of Baal, which angered Jezebel, wife of the king, who also worshipped Baal. She made it known to Elijah that she would quickly bring death to him to repay him for the deaths of the prophets of Baal. Hearing this threat and knowing Jezebel could make this happen, Elijah fled. He got as far away as he could. He found himself in the wilderness and was tired and hungry. He found comfort in the shade of a juniper tree and had accepted the idea that he would die. In his mind, if he was going to die, he preferred to die through the mercy of God instead of the hands of Jezebel. Eventually, Elijah fell asleep. He must have been startled awake when he felt contact on his body. Knowing Jezebel had been looking for him, he probably was at first frightened and confused. He discovered food was there available for him to eat. After eating and drinking, he went back to sleep. An angel of God had given food to Elijah and told him to get up, eat some more, and continue on to Mount Horeb, where he hid in a cave. It was in this cave that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, asking him what he was doing there. Elijah explained that only he was left as a prophet of God, and that his life was endangered. Elijah was told to exit the cave and stand on the mountain, and it was then an earthquake happened after fierce winds toppled some of the rocks. Elijah could not find God in the wind or the earthquake. Then there was a fire, and God was not in the fire. Then Elijah heard a voice, a small voice by the mouth of the cave, and the small voice was the voice of God, who asked him what he was doing at the cave. Elijah once again shared how in his mind he was the only prophet left serving God and how his life was endangered. God told Elijah to go to Syria and anoint Hazael as king of Syria. He also explained that Elisha would become a prophet and that even though Elijah didn't see it, there were 7,000 people in Israel who were still faithful to God. Elijah sought refuge from Jezebel's persecution. He sought peace. And God gave Elijah peace by sending him to Syria and by having Elisha serve as a prophet. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. They seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mahula shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Similar to Elijah, who found peace by fleeing to a cave, only to be told to go to Syria, we can find peace during troubling times through patience. It is through patience we control our destiny. Jesus had taught of troubling times to come, what is called the Great Tribulation. His disciples wanted to know about these troubling times. Jesus first gave them a prophetic overview of what to expect, showing that many would come teaching about Jesus. He showed how there would be wars and rumors of wars. He talked about natural disasters, pandemics, crop failure, and uncommon celestial events. He told them how there would be a future time of persecution of the faithful, much like Jezebel had persecuted Elijah. He told the disciples to not worry how they would answer, but to have patience. Having patience is the pathway to peace we are given during troubling times. Luke 21, verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience, possess ye your souls. God brought peace to Elijah, and Jesus showed a pathway to peace for the disciples. When Jesus gave a sermon on the Mount, he offered a blessing to the peacemakers, explaining they would be called the children of God. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus is not telling his followers to surrender to avoid any type of conflict, because if we did that, eventually we would have to surrender to Satan. That would mean we would lose on salvation. We also wouldn't be one who overcomes, and eternal life is for those who overcome. If we would try to look up other verses that use the translated word for peacemaker or the original Greek word, we wouldn't find any other verses. Matthew 5, verse 9 is the only use of the term peacemaker in the Bible. To make peace, there has to be a desire for peace. If there is a conflict and one of the combatants doesn't want peace, it is pretty hard to make peace. If we want the blessing from Jesus as a peacemaker, we must have a desire for peace. Spiritually, we are fighting a battle with Satan, and we will never be at peace with Satan. There will be no peace treaty with Satan. Jesus Christ will defeat Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit. While we live as humans on this planet with others, some of whom are called, and many of whom are not yet called, we can live peaceably with them, because we know God's plan of salvation, how all will have an opportunity for eternal life. For the faithful, that time is now, and for many, that time will come at the second resurrection. We never live peaceably with Satan. We are spiritually at war with Satan, but we can live peaceably with others so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life reflecting the character of God. We are told to pray, help, and give thanks for all people, including national and civil leaders, so that we can live that quiet and peaceable life. Doing this is one way how we today can be a peacemaker. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Hardship must often precede peace if peace is to be valued. With mankind, peace is not in the forefront of our thoughts unless war is before us. Spiritually, the peaceable fruit of righteousness comes to us through suffering that results when we do not do what God expects of us. When we sin, ideally, we learn from that mistake and do not repeat. We spiritually fight the sin that is before us, and through the Holy Spirit, sin will be defeated and is replaced with righteousness, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12, verse 4. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after the word, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Those who think there is no God lack peace as we know it. They do not understand God, nor do they seek God. They seek what is right in their own eyes. Because there is no respect of God in their eyes, they cannot know the pathway to peace. We who respect God, who fear Him, know that pathway to peace. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The pathway to peace comes to us through faith. It is through faith we have peace through Jesus Christ. We also recognize that faith is built with patience, experience, and hope, and patience comes through hardships, pulling us back full circle to the idea that hardships and struggles can result in peace. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. We are told, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit. As we are led by the Holy Spirit, we live a life reflecting righteousness. And living a life that reflects righteousness leads to life and peace, showing that to have spiritual peace, we must be doing what God expects of us. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We live our lives seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. There is nothing we will ever do to bring harm to another person, nor will we do anything that might even trip them up just a bit. We should be thankful for the spiritual knowledge revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. But we should never take that gift given to us and use it to demean others. Through the Holy Spirit, we will answer questions regarding the hope we have and why we do what we do, but we won't use the Holy Spirit to bring down others. We have no need to confront or demean non-believers, nor do we need to belittle others of the household of faith. We should seek those things which make for peace, and that make things better for other people. Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. We have probably heard that God is not the author of confusion in explanations about how the church should not be allowed to be a jumbled mess. But in that explanation, we might have overlooked what God is the author of. God is the author of peace, especially within the Church of God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. For the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Paul told the Ephesians that Jesus preached a message of peace to those near and far. It was Jesus who, through his death, broke down the spiritual middle wall of partition that separated the Holy of Holies in the temple, giving people access to God the Father. Through his death, there is no longer a need for the temple offerings and sacrifices bringing peace. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jesus told the disciples he would leave peace with them. Not the type of peace the world knows, but the type of peace that comes to us through righteousness and spiritual understanding. He added that they should not be troubled or afraid. John 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. The household of faith has peace. The world does not. Because we are of the household of faith living in this world, we are caught between the two. It's likely the people closest to us who are not of the household of faith will be our strongest critics. We can never choose their friendship and love over our commitment to the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. The kingdom of God and God's righteousness must always be our top priority. Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not, I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. When we think of the unity of the Holy Spirit, unity comes through love, but we have to pursue this through the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The Colossians were reminded of many spiritual qualities: to be merciful and kind, to be humble and meek, to be patient and tolerant, and to be forgiving. Love was to be a major part of who they were, and they were to let the peace of God rule their hearts through gratitude. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Paul reminded the Thessalonians to never repay evil for evil, but to seek that which is good for themselves and for all people. He told them to be happy and to pray. He told them to be grateful, never quenching the Holy Spirit. He advised them to not despise prophesying, and instead to prove what was taught and to hold on to that which is good. They were to avoid even the appearance of evil, knowing that God, the God of peace, would sanctify them, setting them apart as his people in the modern age. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. Seeing that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In the most trying of times, we can find peace. We can look to the Psalms, where even in the valley of the shadow of death, God grants peace, as there is no evil to fear. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we love God, we will keep his commandments, and we will have great peace. We know we have great peace when nothing offends us. In recent years, it seems like too many people are easily offended. The relative anonymity of social media makes it easy for people to be offended and to criticize. But if we love God's law, we will have great peace, and nothing will offend us. Psalm 119, verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We have to make sure we are focused on peace, even when others may not be. Even when others may seek our harm, we have to seek peace. Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper? Woe is me, that I sojourn in Meshach, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. When we think of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, we might think of various prophecies from the Old Testament. We are told that peace will increase and increase with no end in sight during the kingdom of God. It's hard for us to imagine that peace can increase, but that is what we are told. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Later in Isaiah, we are told the work of righteousness is peace. When we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we are by default seeking peace. We are seeking the peace of which there shall be no end to the increase of peace. We are seeking all the benefits of peace, like never having to worry in one's own home. Isaiah 32, verse 16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Through God, we will have peace, and that peace keeps us connected to all things spiritual. What is required of us is to do what God expects of us. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. In the closing of his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul told them to live in peace, knowing that the God of love and peace would be with them. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Finally, in James, we are told what spiritual wisdom looks like. Spiritual wisdom does not come from a place where we look down on others because we somehow think we are better than them. Spiritual wisdom considers what is pure. Then it considers what it means to be peaceable. Spiritual wisdom includes being gentle, being easy to approach, showing mercy, having the fruit of the Holy Spirit, being sincere without hypocrisy, and being impartial. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. But where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When we consider why Jesus pronounced a blessing on the peacemakers, it is because peacemakers sow the fruit of righteousness in peace, meaning they seek a harvest of righteousness in themselves and others by acting with righteousness in peace. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.